The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You done fell right down that rabbit hole, so reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right, ayy.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Punk, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 275 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy,
what?
We had a great time in Dallas.
Man, did we ever.
And along the way, Memphis was fun.
Yep.
And then obviously got a couple of days in Galveston where we got to meet up with Jody and her awesome sons, Trent and Dylan, for lunch.
Yes, it was awesome.
Got to meet up the next day with a couple of other friends, Tanya Bruce and Julianne.
Yes, so, it was quite the adventure, and I had a blast. It was so good to see everybody.
And for once, we had decent weather during all the
travel. Oh my gosh, I know.
We drove 2,000 miles.
We did. And it rained one time, I think, what?
Leaving Galveston to go to Houston.
Yeah, it wasn't long, though, but it's just we had beautiful days the whole time, so we're very blessed.
We'll talk about more of that later. Obviously, we want to thank all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks to all of you for everything you do to help and keep us safe.
Amen. God bless you guys. Keep the prayers going to you, and just thank you for protecting us. We love you guys so much.
We also want to thank everybody out there who lends their support to us, because I know every week we talk about us trying to give our support to you. And the group giving the support to you if you're going through some mental struggles. But the reality of it is, you guys help us as much as we help you.
Absolutely.
So as we get all these messages for people thanking us for what we do, we want to take the time to thank you guys for how you help us.
Amen. You guys help us more than you'll ever know. Yep. And we're just glad to be there for you as well.
Yep. Just know that you've got support if you're going through some things, either through us or through our group. Or Tracy, what's some of their options?
You can call the suicide hotline number at 1-800-273-8255. You can also text to 741-741. You guys are not alone. Please don't feel afraid to reach out because we're here for you.
Yeah. Remember, it's okay to not be okay sometimes.
Amen.
It's funny because I write that in every book that I sign.
Mm-hmm.
I mention it in the book. And when we were on our way somewhere along the way, I think to Dallas, there was a big billboard that just said,
mm-hmm.
it's okay not to be okay. And Tracy pointed out to
yeah.
me. So.
It was like, oh, so, it's out there. The help's out there for you guys.
All right. So let's get into the story and then we'll talk a little bit about the trip and some fun stuff. First of all, you heard at the beginning our new intro music. So we tested it out at the live event in Dallas, and people genuinely seemed to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I tested it out through some, like, we've got 9 admins in our group, and we have a private chat that we always talk about. So if somebody puts up a post and we're iffy on whether it should be taken down, we just get everybody involved.
Yeah.
And I put it up in there, and some of the people who didn't even like the first intro song because they're not into rap, they actually like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I've not heard one negative. I was kind of nervous that people would be like, oh, I can't believe you're changing it. But, you know, it was time to refresh it. And we worked on this song about a month and a half. And I say we, it's mainly Tragic Times who did the song. But he kept sending me, you know, I told him what I wanted. I wanted something a little creepier, but still fun. And then we kept trying to work it out. And it was like he'd send me something. I'd be like, can we go a little bit faster on it? And then we tried that a couple of times. And then finally he said, hey, I've got a whole new idea. Let's just blow it up and start over.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he came up with. And I thought it actually worked. I thought it was the creepy, but at the same time, it was fun.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he knocked it out of the park.
He did. He came through for us again.
And he's actually got a podcast out. It's called P-O-D-V. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's a kind of a motivational podcast. It's him and some buddies that grew up and just talking about, hey, this is how it was when we were young and some of the stupid stuff we did. And as we got older, we realized and we've all matured and grown up. And now we're trying to keep other people from making the
right.
same mistakes.
Yeah, tune them in, guys.
So check them out. All right, let's get into the story. So I'm going to start off by saying that this was actually one of the hardest stories that I've ever had to research because of conflicting reports.
Oh, okay.
It was fascinating, but very confusing at times, mainly on when these events actually started, but I think I've got it figured out, and so we're going to go with that. There was also some confusion on whether this was a haunting or a poltergeist situation, and this might sound like splitting hairs, but if you've listened to this show for any length of time, and unfortunately, I'm going to rehash it because there's going to be a lot of new people listening because it's Halloween time and a mm-hmm. lot of people find us at that time. But there is a difference between a haunting and a poltergeist. And I'll breeze through it for people who've had to sit through this every time we mention poltergeist. But a haunting is a spirit that, you know, some people will say ghost. That was a living being at sometimes. Maybe it was, you know, a grandparent or a parent. Or maybe it was somebody who lived in that house for several years and they think of this as their home still, even though, you know, you live in it now. Or maybe it's somebody who worked at a place, like a bellhop or something, that constantly shows up to help people with their bags, even though they've been dead for 50 years.
Yeah.
That's more of a haunting.
That's dedication.
That's
true. What that is.
That's true. I don't know where they keep their tips.
I don't know either.
But then you've got poltergeist. And poltergeist activity typically is more of objects and stuff that move that is done mentally by someone who's unaware that they're even causing these disturbances. And in most cases, not in all, but in most, it's usually a prepubescent teen, 11, 12, 13 years old. And in even more cases, it's usually female. But what happens is they've got so much going on emotionally, whether, you know, it be hormones or bodies changing or whatever the deal is, there's just so much going on. And in some cases, it's just like domestic problems going on, but it's just, you know, teenagers just have that, you know, situation anyway.
And I told you that PMS, that P starts for poltergeist.
Right. But a lot of times these children are having so much going on that they are projecting out mentally, and it's causing stuff to move or causing things to catch on fire or whatever the deal is. That's the difference between a poltergeist and a haunting.
You know, it makes so much sense now to think about it with PMS. Because you feel like the devil when you're PMSing, for real.
I wouldn't know. But I have
lucky.
I have had White Castle cramps.
Oh, God. I have too. We gotta quit buying those dang things. Shoot.
You'd be lucky you live in a place that has White Castles. Oh. Or you'd be like Harold and Kumar and have to go on some long journey.
I mean, I feel so blessed.
I'm gonna say this about this story. This may be the only story that I've ever actually come across that may have a ghost and poltergeist activity.
Ooh, at the same time. Man, that's some skills there.
So here's the confusion. Most articles on this story say that the activity started on September 15th of 1889. Now, I believe that this is accurate, and I'm going to explain why at the end. So let's jump to that date. September 15th, 1889. We're in a small town in Quebec, Canada, called Clarendar. Now, if I'm pronouncing this wrong, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to foreign countries and foreign cities, yeah, especially when you got Canada, when you got some French pronunciations.
Yeah, we're country, so we don't know how those.
And I did try to look it up, and I got three different pronunciations.
Oh, you did?
So I just went with one. Yeah.
Okay.
I've learned now to look up everything. If I'm iffy, I look it up. Now, this is about 7 miles from the bigger city of Shawville. The story involves the Dagg family, and they were farmers. This family consisted of George. He was 35 years old. His wife, Susan, I didn't know her age. Their three children, Eliza, who was 4, Mary, who was age 3, and a newborn by the name of John. Now, they had also taken in a little girl from the UK named Dinah. Dinah was an orphan.
Dinah. What's that remind me of? Dinah Shore? Dinah's in the kitchen. That's what it reminds me of.
Well, she was at a farm, so she probably was in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Dinah's in the kitchen. No, who's in the... Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. It was the poltergeist. It was a ghost. All those years, we finally figured it out.
So Dinah was an orphan. At this time, it was pretty common thing for the UK to send their orphans to farmers in Canada and Australia. This gave the children a home, but it also gave the farmers extra help.
That makes sense.
So Dinah's going to be a huge part of the story, but not just yet. So let's start with the morning of September 15th, 1889. You're probably thinking, oh, you already said that, but you didn't. So, wish you weren't a liar. Anyways.
Quit taking words out of my mouth, will you?
George had given Susan a $5 bill and a $2 bill. This sounds like one of those math questions.
I didn't know they made $2 bills back then.
I guess they did.
So when
is Canada too, so.
Oh, well, that's true. Because so when we got our $2 bills here in the U.S., that wasn't really nothing special because they already did it back in the 1800s.
True.
Whatever. So they didn't have Elvis stamps like I did.
Susan placed this money in the drawer of a bureau that was next to the stove in the kitchen. The next day, a hired hand by the name of Dean, he brought the $5 bill to George and said that he found it on the floor by the stove.
Mm-hmm.
So George opened the drawer, and he found that not only was that $5 bill missing, but the $2 bill was also missing. Now, me, I probably would have assumed, since this guy brought me the $5 bill, that it probably, somebody opened a drawer to pull something out. Maybe it's a junk drawer and they had ketchup packets or Taco Bell.
They did not have that back in the 1800s.
They had Taco Bell packets, like with wire cutters. Anyway, I would think somebody opened it up, grabbed something out, and the money fell out with it. That would be my thought.
Okay, but why would, if that was the case, why would Dean give back the $5 bill?
Well, that's my whole point. So what happens is...
So wait.
Hold on, Mabel.
Sorry.
He realizes that the $2 bill's still missing, so he automatically assumes somebody took it and they searched the entire house for it. The $2 bill shows up in Dean's bed.
Oh.
Under his quilt. Of course, Dean swears he didn't do it, and they automatically assume that he took the money.
Okay, but that, okay. But
that's my point, too. Why would you assume he took the money when he gave back the bigger bill?
Right. Why wouldn't you keep the bigger bill and give him a $2 bill back?
Yeah, he drew attention completely to the case.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he could have just kept it and nobody would have knew, but you draw attention to it.
See,
and then you handed him the $5 bill.
So automatically, Dean's guilty.
Right. Dean swore he had nothing to do with it. The following day, Susan Dagg gets up early. She starts her normal morning routine, which in this case would consist of cleaning the house as well as doing chores like making breakfast. Now, Susan was a God-fearing woman, and she kept a very spotless house. She lived by the motto that cleanliness is next to godliness. We've all heard that saying.
Of course.
So you can imagine her shock and awe when she walked into the living room. She was greeted with a strong smell of feces.
Ew.
She quickly noticed that smell was coming from what she assumed was animal feces smeared all over her living room floor.
So does she have pets in the house?
No.
Oh, well, how is she going to assume that?
Well, first of all, this was an unacceptable offense for the time period. And I know you're probably thinking, hello, poop on the floor, it's not really an acceptable offense today.
No, I mean, you clean it up.
But this was back at a time when that would have been close to a sin to a 19th century woman to have fecal matter in your house.
Well, what if her husband or her had about a diarrhea and couldn't make it to the toilet and they just pooped on the floor?
I don't know how many times you've had that happen where people just poop on the floor at your house.
Have you not seen Hoarders?
Hoarders is different.
Oh.
All right. So the question is, what you asked, where did this poop come from? Why did she assume that it was an animal if they didn't have pets? Well, initially, guess who it was blamed on?
God, Ninja. Dean.
Of course.
Why would Dean poop in a floor?
Well, he didn't poop in a floor, but his main job was working with the pigs on the farm. So this seemed like a logical assumption because Dean had been told in the past to take his shoes off before entering the house because on a few occasions he actually had not and had tracked in some feces into the house.
Oh, that makes
sense. So this makes a little more sense than the money. With this being said, he had never made a mess like this, not like the one she was looking at now.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what it was.
So Dean completely denied making the mess and he said that he had never even been in the house that day. And regardless of his denial, George Dagg had had enough. Between the money showing up in his bed and now the feces on the floor after multiple warnings to take the shoes off, Dean was not only fired, but George took him to stand before the judge in Shawville to explain his side of the story.
Surely you're not telling me he took him from the judge because he got poop on the floor.
That and the money. I mean, I'm telling you, that would have been a major deal back then. Where today it'd be like, that sucks, and I'll clean it up, and you just be ticked off. But back then, I mean, you might as well have shot somebody in that floor.
Well, that is ridiculous. If you have a farm and you work on a farm, things like that will happen.
Well.
Why not just make Dean clean it up?
I don't know. So here's the deal. While they were gone, standing before the judge, Susan Dagg found more poop that wasn't there earlier, so there was the proof that it could not have been Dean.
See, that's what you get for jumping to conclusions.
Now, this poop was actually in a closet, by the way.
Oh, gosh. So, why in the world was it in a closet?
Just in case you were wondering.
Because somebody was drunk and didn't know they couldn't get to the toilet, and they thought the closet was a toilet. I've seen people do that.
I used to tell a story that we used to have those floor registers and furnaces, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, so you walk across, it's like walking across a grate on the sidewalk, but mm-hmm. It was in your floor. And that's where the furnace heat came from. And my grandpa one time at Christmas got so drunk that he peed in it and put out the pilot light.
Well, my ex-husband did that one time, and he actually did. He peed in the pantry garbage can. He thought it was a bathroom.
For someone real. Peed in the pantry with Diana.
And that was quite funny, actually. It's gross at the same time, but.
All right, so regardless of what happened and who was to blame, Dean was gone. Now, over the next several days, strange things started happening around the farm.
But why didn't they give Dean a second chance if they figured it out?
Had issues with him anyway, apparently. They already felt like he still stole the money and he'd already tracked stuff in the floor before. I don't know. Maybe the guy really wasn't that good at his job to begin with. We don't really know the story.
Oh, okay. I was trying to help Dean out.
Mr. and Miss Dagg were awoken in the middle of the night by a loud bang on the wall. Plates would be thrown around the kitchen by unseen hands. Rocks would come crashing through their windows from the outside during the daytime hours.
Sounds like Ernest T. Bass to me. Problem solved.
The family assumed that the activity was Dean coming back to get revenge for being fired. This guy, I can't, he's not even there anymore. He's still getting blames.
Yeah. Blames.
Well, there's multiple blame. But every time there was an incident, George would grab some of his employees from the farm and they would go check the grounds. But no culprit was ever found, and there was never a logical explanation for what had happened. All right, so this was the time period where spiritualism was all the rage. You had the Fox sisters and all this stuff. Everybody was really into spiritualism now. Now, Miss Dagg was a huge believer in it herself, and she felt that the farm was under attack by an evil entity. And why not? You know, because at this time, items were now being thrown against the wall from across the room. Dinah's hair was cut while she slept.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Multiple fires had spontaneously started, and several other windows had now been shattered. Now, what makes this entity different is that it spoke. And not just speak, it would literally have a conversation if you were brave enough to ask it questions.
Ooh, was anybody brave enough?
Of course. But the key here, though, was that it would only talk if Dinah was around. Here's another freaky part. The entity would show itself to the children, but in various forms. For example, sometimes it was a big black dog with red eyes.
Scary.
Other times it was a man with the head of a cow, but it had cloven hooves and horns. That's more like a bull. Last but not least, it showed up as an angelic type figure. But we're going to get more into that towards the end of the story. So let's learn more about Dinah. I told you she was going to be a huge part to this story. I also told you that she was an orphan. That was not completely accurate. Her mother had given her up. And her mom actually lived up until 1894 in Glasgow, Scotland. So Dinah came to live with the Daggs in 1885. So she was around 6 or 7 at the time, but her mom was still alive. So technically, she wasn't an orphan at that time.
Okay.
But she later would become one anyway. She was 11 at the time these events started happening. So there was 4 years of her living with the Daggs with no occurrences whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've got all these events that we've already spoken about, you know, happening, we start getting other things happening, like a harmonica played on its own.
Dang.
A water jug, a butter tub, and a wash basin all flew across the room. And the fires, we talked about the fires. There was as many as 8 fires started in the house on one day.
I mean, how in the heck it didn't burn the house down?
I don't know. And none of these have been connected to Dinah at this point. So family neighbors started to hear a deep gruff voice that sounded like an old man.
Mm-hmm.
This happened inside the house and outside the house. Now, since so many people had experiences at the farm, the haunting started to garner some media attention. After about a month of this, Miss Dagg decided that she was going to send a letter to Canadian psychical researcher Percy Woodcock and begged for his help.
Woodcock. That's funny.
He responded immediately, which for back then was probably 2 or 3 weeks by carrier pigeon.
I'm sure it took it a while to get there.
Woodcock, and I'm probably going to say that a lot because it's fun and that's the only way I can compete with the guys from Ohio. Trying to get our ratings up.
I wish it was Woodycock. That would be funnier.
So Woodcock set up a laboratory as soon as he got to the farm and he started investigating immediately. He came to the conclusion that the family was not being attacked by an entity, but rather by psychic turbulence, or better known as poltergeist activity. He believed that Dinah was a medium, but completely unaware of it.
So she didn't have no clue.
She had no clue. That's a double negative.
Oh, no. Sorry.
I wonder why people think we're hicks. Anyways.
By the way, I do know how to drive. That's all I'm saying about that.
He didn't say you didn't know how to drive, that you shouldn't be allowed to drive.
Well,
and I'm 100% in his corner.
He can suck my butt, so there you go.
I agree with him.
You better shut your face. Shut your pie hole.
Anyways, he believed that Dinah was a medium, right? So the term for being a medium and unaware of it is unconscious medium. So there actually is a term for that. Therefore, she was unknowingly causing all this chaos. Woodcock and everybody else involved would soon learn that this case was way more complicated than they ever could have imagined. So at one point, Woodcock is testing Dinah, and she proved that his suspicions were correct about her being a medium. But then she dropped a bombshell.
Baby.
She told him that she had been in regular contact with an unpleasant entity that lived in the family shed.
Oh my gosh.
So Woodcock asked Dinah to take him to the shed, and there he got the scare of his life. Let's keep in mind, this is a man who researches paranormal activity.
Oh,
probably shouldn't be easily frightened off.
Yeah.
So he walks into this shed. He said it was clear that he was not alone. He could feel someone watching his every move. Maybe it was Sting.
You're dumb.
He also felt an undeniable sense of dread. So Woodcock called out to the entity and was greeted with a gravelly laugh. That's not really gravelly. It's creepy, but let me change that. Greeted with a creepy laugh. He demanded that the spirit tell him its name. The spirit growled and then said, "I am the devil. If you don't leave this place now, I will break your neck."
Ooh, I wonder how he said it. I wonder he said, "I'm the devil, bitch." Or did he say, "What's up? I'm the devil, yo."
I'm pretty sure neither one of those would have been how that went.
Oh.
But Woodcock was so...
What do you think he said? "Hey, nice to meet you. I'm the devil."
"Pleased to make your acquaintance, sir."
"Yeah.
I am the Beelzebub.
I shall be breaking your neck if you don't get up out of here."
Okay.
No.
This is completely off the rails. Woodcock was so shaken by the... I just thought that I put Woodcock and shaken in the same sentence. Woodcock was so shaken that he grabbed his equipment and immediately left the farm.
How could he run grabbing his equipment?
After Percy Woodcock's visit, things escalated at the farm. Small fires started to break out all over the house. Thunderous bangs could be heard all hours of the day and the night. But then family and guests would have jugs of water thrown in their faces.
Well, that's just rude.
Maybe it's trying to put out the fires.
Rude.
On one occasion, a guest at the farm asked the spirit to tell him its name.
Maybe they were doing the ice water challenge. Yeah? No?
I can't imagine what these reviews are going to look like after this
show.
The spirit loudly said, "I am the spirit of an 80-year-old man who died on this property 20 years ago.
Aw. He was just hanging out, man.
I do not approve of the Dag family."
Dag.
So when asked to reveal its name, it whispered its name into the ear of George Dag. But then the spirit told George that if he ever told anyone, he would die a horrible death.
Oh my gosh.
George never told anyone what the spirit said into his ear that day.
His name ain't that special.
Soon after this incident, the children started to see a different version of the entity. It's what I spoke about earlier. Now, to this point, they had only seen the cowman and the black dog. As the haunting was coming to a close, 3 months after it started, so 3 months of all this stuff, the entity showed itself to the children as an angelic figure. The children described it as a tall, beautiful man with long, flowing white hair.
Nice.
He was wearing a crown that was studded with white stars. He appeared this way to them, and he told them that he was leaving. The children said that he raised into the sky, singing church hymns.
Oh, my goodness.
And just like that, everything went back to normal.
How lovely.
Well, somewhat.
Oh.
Back to normal. So I told you that there were some discrepancies. Most of what I read said that the incident took its toll on the family. The family still blamed Dinah for everything that had happened. Some town's members felt that she was even a ventriloquist and felt that it was her voice and not that of a spirit that people were hearing. I don't know how she managed to play a harmonica by throwing her voice.
I don't know. They don't stray much from who they blame, do they?
No.
It was Dean and her. That's it.
Eventually, the Dag sent Dinah to the Fairnone home in Brockville. Now, Fairnone was an orphanage. With that being said, what we do know is that the family and neighbors did believe that there actually was a haunting in the house. Even though they blamed her, they did think there was a haunting. And we know this because there was a document drawn up by George Dagg that stated all the events that we've discussed in this episode. It was then signed by 17 witnesses, and this was on November 17th of 1889. That's why I said I think the date that we had at the beginning was accurate, because that would have put it about the same time. These witnesses were farmers and community leaders, which consisted of local politicians and clergymen.
Mm-hmm.
17 different people that should be pretty easy to believe that witnessed these accounts.
Yeah, some of them are iffy, but go ahead.
Okay, one last bit. So this is more confusion. So we said that the family sent Dinah to the orphanage, right?
Yes.
Well, Thomas Dagg, who is the son of George Dagg, he says differently. He says that a showman came to George's farm and wanted to adopt Dinah. When I hear showman, I automatically think P.T. Barnum, circus, that type of
thing. Oh, okay.
George refused to let this showman adopt Dinah. And shortly after that is when all the paranormal activity started.
Oh, no. It started again?
So, started, period. Not again.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought it kind of ended when the ghosts or the heavenly ghosts.
It did end, but George is telling the story about before.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, not George, but Thomas.
Tom, yeah, okay, I gotcha.
All right, so Thomas says this guy came, wanted to adopt her. George said no. And then shortly after is when all the paranormal activity started. So, if that's the case, we don't know what was going on in the house. Maybe Dinah was not happy in the house for whatever reason. And she wanted out, and she saw her way out when this guy wanted to adopt her. And then when they turned him down, maybe then things mentally for her went overboard, and that's what started causing everything. Maybe she was really upset that she didn't get to leave this family for whatever reason. And so like I said, I'm not going to make accusations, but I mean, I don't know. There was some abuse going on of one way, shape, or form.
Or maybe she was like iffy about how they got all up in arms about poop being in the floor.
Well, the poop hadn't been in the floor yet.
Well, that's
jumping,
true.
You're still jumping ahead.
That's right. I am. Sorry.
All right. So anyways, he says that's when the activity started. His cup was shortly after being refused this. Thomas said that the ghost never appeared unless Dinah was around, and that neighbors thought that the voice of the ghost was Dinah, which is also what we had heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He then said that Dinah went to live with Uncle Willie Dagg, which was George's brother. A man showed up at Uncle Willie's house with a note that was supposedly signed by George asking that Dinah come home. The man that brought the note left with Dinah, and she nor the ghost was ever heard from again.
Oh my gosh.
So
that's
really
crazy.
Nothing I found showed me anything that showed that she was at the orphanage or that she was at Uncle Willie's and this guy took her. So I don't know what happened to Dinah after they sent her away one way or the other.
Wow. My Dinah was in all kinds of trouble and stuff. She didn't even know it.
You never know.
Wow, that's a crazy story.
All right, so we got a bunch of cool stuff to tell you about.
All righty.
So let's take a really quick break from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to tell you some cool stuff.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, Tracy, so today, as this show comes out, we just completed our Bobby Mackey's episode. Mm-hmm. Or not episode, but the live event. Mm-hmm. It was such a blast. Thanks to everyone that showed up. Thank you guys so much. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
It's always fun to go there, for sure.
It definitely
is. And there's always something different every time, I feel like. Like as an experience.
Yeah.
For me.
And so, let's cover next year. Next year, we're not going to do as many live events.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do some. I'm currently working on an Indianapolis event and with Todd Hedges and his crew.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Which is Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. And James Barnes with the Tragedy of
Cinema. Yay. Love those guys.
Those guys live in Indianapolis, and they both basically asked us for advice and stuff before they started their podcast. And I thought it would be cool to go to their hometown and just do something up there.
Heck yeah, man.
Then I'm working on a Louisville show that hopefully, and we're still working, it's in the early, early stages, but we're hoping to be us, Brohio, Shane Waters, and Justin Rimmel.
Oh my gosh.
All four of us in Louisville.
The old team's back together.
The old team. And that's the same group that'll be on the cruise.
And oh my gosh, yes.
So that'd be cool. And then I'm working on something in West Virginia at the old hospital on College Hill.
Yes, definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, so we're working on that. And like I said, everything's in the early stages. But I set these shows up usually before November 1st just to, you know, give people a chance. So even though we just finished the last one, and we're already working on next year.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Dallas, like I said, that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun out there. Memphis was amazing in the fact that we've never, out of all these shows we've done, what happens, we do these shows on Eventbrite. That's where you go get your tickets. And you can actually go to Eventbrite and put in a city and find out what's going on. We have done probably 30 of these shows over the last 4 years. And we've never had anybody show up that wasn't a listener to the show.
That's right.
The first three couples who showed up in Memphis all just happened to go to Eventbrite and saw there was something going on. They want to check it out. None of them had a clue who we were.
Nope.
That makes it very odd.
But it was wonderful.
It was very cool.
Oh my gosh, they were so nice.
But that was really cool. The people at Outlaws Barbecue in Grand Prairie couldn't have been nicer.
Oh my gosh. No, they were amazing.
They were understaffed like a lot of places are.
Bless their hearts.
They did everything they could.
They sure did.
And our listeners that showed up, big thanks to Leslie for and her show, Because I Want to Know. It was fun to finally meet Leslie for the first time, and it was a blast. Ashley Hernandez came out, and we love Ashley. She came all the way from the Houston area, so it was about 4 hours for her to come up. It was just a blast.
Yeah,
it really was.
It was so much fun, and like Jerry said, we were so excited to meet Leslie and Brett, and then, you know.
Brett brought us a cow skull.
He did.
That we have sitting on top of our podcast table now.
Yep, it's looking right at me.
It's one of the most unique gifts we've ever brought to us.
Definitely, definitely. We met Raphael and his two beautiful daughters.
Yes.
And was very happy to see them. And I tell you, I don't know.
Too many people would even mention.
What's her name? The
Danielle Williams.
She came from Michigan.
Detroit.
Michigan. Yeah. And then we saw Tanya. She come on up to the show as well. And it was amazing. I mean, there's just so many good people that we met, and we just couldn't be more blessed.
Yep, absolutely. So if we didn't mention your name, sorry, there was a bunch, but I know Kimberly, Susan, there's a bunch of people showed up. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
So, all right. Tracy, what do you got for us over there?
All right, with our iTunes, RCZAS, Midwest Koala, Sea Siren 11. I wanted to say something to him. He left us a review, which was, it was
confusing.
I mean, it was a 4-star. It was good and everything. But the point I'm trying to make is he had said something about the reviews got deleted or something.
Yeah. It started off with my previous review has been deleted.
But
I've heard some others, but we have no way of deleting iTunes reviews. We have nothing to do with that.
No, we don't. But don't you say if somebody leaves a review, then if they leave another review, that one goes away?
They only allow you to leave one review. So if you leave a second review, it replaces your last.
Okay. So I just wanted him to know that, or her, whichever it is.
Yeah.
Know.
So that could be the case there. I'm not sure. But trust me, we don't delete any reviews.
Yeah.
If we could, we wouldn't have any bad ones up there.
That's right. But anyway, I just wanted to let them know that, you know, please believe that we did not do that. Jason B. 007 and Mojo Lobster, you guys, we love you all so much for your reviews. And they were awesome. They were awesome reviews. It fills our heart. And we just thank you for taking the time out of your day to do that. It means a lot.
And we thought we were going to get to meet Mojo Lobster in person at the Bobby Mackey show, but he had a situation come up and wasn't able to make it.
Dang it. So. He's going to be a mystery.
I don't think he exists.
I don't think he does either. No. our Patreons this week, we had Tracy Tommel. I don't know if I said that right, Tracy, but good first name. Shawnee and Matt. Amy Francis, Robbie Heller, and Simone Patton. Thank you guys for your support on Patreon. It means a lot to us, and we appreciate everything you all do for us.
On Thursday, the 4th annual Hillbilly Horror Stories Halloween episode will be released.
Yes, I'm so excited about that.
A couple days early. 18 different podcasts represented. It's about a 3-hour show.
Isn't that great? Thank you guys for coming through.
Yeah, we've got some regulars on there, and then we've got a bunch of new shows to try to mix it up a little bit. But I know, like I said, Tragedy Cinema's back, and then we've got a couple of big ones that hadn't been on before. Jim Harold.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited about Jim.
Derek Hayes from Monsters Among Us sent us something. We got David Flora from Blurry Photos sent. Like I said, that's just a couple other shows that are out there. But there's a bunch of new shows that you can check out this year with some of the old regulars on there.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoy it.
So, all right, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate everything you do, and we'll talk to you next week.
Y'all have a blessed week. Love you.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.